Listen to shoot the defence. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Shoot the Defence on FNX, brought to you by My Sportswear. I'm your host, Stel, and my co-host, as ever, is Mr. Yannickus. He's back. How you doing?
Yeah, fine. You alright?
I'm great. You've had a shave, you've had a trim, you're looking fresh to death.
Thank you.
Less of the death. We're not going to get into deaths. We spoke about deaths a couple of weeks ago. Right, our second co-host is, as ever, Mr. Rodri Giggs. Mate, welcome back. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Good, like you say, I'm good, and Jan's looking fresher, isn't he?
Have you two missed me or something?
Of course. you were the main topic of this discussion last week. Where is Yannickus? Yeah, it's like, where's Wally? I mean, where is the Wally? Here he is.
Wally with the Broly.
Well, here you go. Right, our two special guests tonight. It gives me great pleasure to introduce friends of the show from the fifth official podcast. It is Jay and Junior. Gents, welcome to Shoot the Defence. Great to finally have you on.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having us on.
It's an absolute pleasure.
Good.
Yeah, all good, mate. How are you guys doing tonight? I know you're Arsenal fans. I really shouldn't be asking, to be fair. I think out of politeness, man. I thought I would.
Are we allowed to swear?
You can. I'll just edit it out for the podcast.
I don't know. I'd rather not,
speak. It's going to give me extra work to do later, but it's fine. It's fine.
Feeling miserable right now.
Well, it's understandable. 3-1. It's understandable. It's understandable. But well, look, I'll tell you what. Let's sidestep a little bit and talk about your podcast, because I was on it a few weeks ago, and as I told you at the end of it, I was very, very impressed with your setup, the way that you guys do it. You got a fantastic product there, and I'm very, very impressed with the energy and the enthusiasm you guys have. Tell our listeners a bit more about what you guys do.
So we're the fifth official group. It's run by six of us. Just literally talk about football. Try and get guests on. Everyone has different football opinions, so what we try and do is just try and share everyone's opinion, because everyone sees football differently.
Excellent, and you guys do it every week?
Yeah, we do it every week on Sundays. We talk about the matches that happen on the weekend, and then we talk about the hottest topics that are happening during the week. We release them on YouTube. You can find us on YouTube at TFO Show or The Fifth Official. We're on Twitter as well, at TFO Show, and yeah.
Fantastic. Well, as I said, it's a brilliant show. It's absolutely fantastic. The topics of discussion, the way that you guys interact with each other, there's that element of banter and that bit of antagonizing, which I like. It's a great concept. And everyone, whoever's listening, tune into the show. It's absolutely fantastic. I rate it very, very highly.
Thank you.
Great stuff.
Brilliant. Well, look, let's talk about the weekend's action, shall we? Because there's a lot of talking points. And Yannickus' new mate, VAR, stole the headlines, created more debates on whether or not it benefits the game. West Brom's fans, players and manager Alan Pardew can be forgiven, perhaps a little bit, if they felt their 3-2 victory over Liverpool was kind of overshadowed by VAR. The Baggies kept Liverpool quiet for most of the game. They even came back to win at Anfield. Now, mate, before we go into VAR's influence in not so many words, let's talk about West Brom, shall we? Because... It was a fantastic performance. It wasn't a negative performance, was it? It wasn't 10 men behind the ball hoping for the counter-attack. They weren't actually afraid to get at Liverpool. What did you make of their performance?
I thought they were excellent from start to finish. It just shows sometimes that if you, like I said before, if you attack the big boys and go for them, you can get joy. And we all know, even though Van Dijk's joined Liverpool, defensively are not a good side. So if you exploit their weaknesses, you can get joy. But West Brom played really well. They defended well. They attacked at the right time. Foster was good in goal. It was all round a great performance, and they deserve credit. I mean, like you said about the VAR kind of overshadowed their victory, but to go to Anfield and score three goals and come away with that result, I think it's a fantastic result.
Absolutely. Now, Rod, Jay Rodriguez scored twice, mate. One of them was an absolute belter. Talk to me about this play, because as I recall, he was on course for getting a knee on cap, wasn't he? And then he got a ACL injury in 2014. He's improved, hasn't he, since he's come back? I'll admit.
Yeah, he's improved a lot. He's been blighted with bad injuries, to be honest, and he's never got a good run. And when he has got a good run, he nearly got in the England squad. So he did well at Burnley, he did well at Southampton when he got the chance, and now he's doing well at West Brom, like you say, and it was a fantastic goal and couldn't be against a better side.
well, at least we know where Rod's loyalties lie, yeah. Right? Jay, tell me something. I know VAR helped the referee Craig Paulson make a lot of big decisions. He disallowed the West Brom goal. He awarded Liverpool a penalty. He even delayed West Brom's third goal. At the end of the day, the decisions were correct, mate. So why the controversy? What's the uproar? What's the boiled piss, as they say?
I think it takes it away from the football entertainment, if you get what I mean. Celebrating and then stopping it and then waiting 2 minutes to find out whether it's a goal or not, it kind of bores us and it doesn't give us a topic during the week. So, for example, I was reading up something today. Remember when Luis Garcia scored the goal against Chelsea?
Yep.
In the Champions League final. Champions League semi-final, sorry. That was entertainment. That brought news. That was headlines. And now if you bring VAR into it, it kind of takes it away. And it's like, there's going to be human error in football. There's going to be human errors everywhere. So to do that, I think it's just like, it makes us now more like the NFL. And it doesn't make it as exciting to me, to be honest.
Yeah. But the thing is, mate, to be fair, that Garcia goal, wouldn't goal line technology solve that? So it's not VAR, is it?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But then I think, goal line technology has been good. Yeah. But then with the VAR challenges, penalties, so we're going to constantly stop the game just to review something. I think that just, for me, not good enough, personally. It takes the excitement away.
I like him already.
Junior, do you agree with your friend and colleague there, mate? Because I know it does delay games. I mean, I think Jurgen Klopp even blamed that for the reason that there was less stoppage time or something. I need to go refer back to that article that I read in the Telegraph today, because I think he was blaming BT for cutting the game short or something ridiculous like that. Again, Klopp clutching at straws again.
It's typical from Klopp, isn't it? It's typical from Klopp moaning about things, complaining about everything around him apart from himself. I agree with Jay with what he says. I think it does delay a little bit. However, I feel like we need to move the times. I feel like we need to make sure that, football's going along with how every other sport is going along with, and keeping it up to date and, just keeping it more fresh.
But don't you think that removing VAR is only going to continue the controversy? I mean, we've seen loads of decisions, like we said at the weekend, loads of decisions were made, and in fact, all of them were correct thanks to VAR. So, okay, I understand there's going to be some incidents where it's going to take maybe a minute and a half to go back to it and refer back to it, and even there might be some instances whereby a referee has to look at an incident seven times before even making that decision. But at the same time, this is what we want, right? We want the decisions to be correct. We don't want to see referees photoshopped in United and Arsenal kits, do we?
We all know that Mike Dean supports Tottenham. but I think it's a case where the controversy in football, it makes football the beautiful game that it is.
Exactly.
So it's bringing in and introducing VAR, it gives the correct decision. However, I feel like it takes out the fun of football. That's it, most people's role, I think. So bringing in VAR, it does just slow things down and takes that excitement out of the game.
Hallelujah for you two guys. I've been wondering, I've been waiting for these kind of people to come on. I'm telling you, see, they agree with me.
What, you just want people to come on just to, agree with you?
No, I'm just saying that I'm going along
with the
guys.
You just want people to conform with you and just agree with everything you say. Well, why? What makes you special?
I'm the special one.
Well, look, I'm going to go back to what Jurgen Klopp said. So I'm just going to paraphrase him or quote him. He said, what I heard was that the actual extra time in the first half should have been 10 minutes. It was only 4 minutes. I heard that television said that it's no longer than 4 minutes. So, he reckons he should have been 7 minutes. And then he goes, if it's 10 minutes, it's 10 minutes. It will not happen often, but if it happens, everyone wants to see the game and not people standing around while someone makes a decision. So Klopp is kind of agreeing with you, but he also blames BT for cutting the game short, which is a load of... load of nonsense. Let's just put it that way. That's the nicest way I can put it. Rod, what do you make of the whole thing? Are you going to agree with Jan or are you going to agree with me and take the?
I don't see the issue. I've been a massive rugby league fan, and it works there. They still get the decision wrong. There's still controversy. There's just that they have to have a big screen. They have to keep the fans in the know, because I think a bit massive problem with it is that the referee can see it. The viewers can see it at home, but the fans in the stadium are all in the dark, so they're all, is it, what's going on? Or, well, if they see it on the screen, they can decide whether even they can argue with themselves, was it a penalty or was it a goal, was he offside? Or it's just obviously there's some grey areas, but they've got to sort them out. And I think they've got a beautiful template with the Rugby Super League, because it's worked for years, and they still get controversy, they still get it wrong, and they still get talking points, but you know, 85% they get right.
Yeah, but Rod, in rugby, once it hits the 80-minute mark and the ball's kicked out, it doesn't the referee blow for full time?
Yeah.
Yes, but that's another thing that they've got to keep an eye on. When they're doing that, are they keeping on the right time for the right injury time to be played afterwards? So there's a lot of things that they need to iron out, but you know, it's a better thing than, it's rather having it than not having it, I think.
Okay. Well, I think only time will tell. It's going okay in the Serie A, I guess. There's been a few talking points. The Bundesliga, they're not happy about it, but the Germans are efficient, and if anyone's going to get it right, first it's going to be them. So yeah, we should.
What
really
do you think of it? Are you for it?
I'm for it, but the thing is, I think the way that technology is now, they will find a way to reduce the length of time it takes to
make a decision.
To make that decision, I think it will. I think they will eventually. They'll find a way. They always do. They should rely on a Japanese or a Chinese company to work it out for us, but we'll be fine. Right, let's talk about the second surprise result of the round, and that was Wigan's victory over West Ham, and it was two goals from Will Grigg either side of half time, which sent the Moyes boys crashing out of the cut. Now, Will Grigg was on fire, not literally, because he's not a pyromaniac. And if Will Grigg is ever on fire, I hope someone could actually put him out, because then we wouldn't want to be seeing that. Mm-hmm. Now, to compound West Ham's misery, Arthur Masuaku was actually sent off for spitting, like Frank Rijkaard did in the Italian 90.
Yep.
He's banned for 6 games, and that's 6 games that West Ham really need, to be fair. Gents, from our fellow podcast friends. Now, David Moyes made 6 changes, and he told the media that the Premier League's survival, West Ham's survival in the Premier League, was his priority. Now, Wigan were unbeaten in 14 games. What do you make of Moyes' decision to actually change West Ham's lineup and the decision overall? West Ham's overall performance.
I'll be honest with you. I called it. We done a clip where we done a preview, and I said that West Ham were going to lose the game. That's because we played against Shrewsbury. We were poor against them, home and away. And they're obviously going to focus more on the Premier League, because if you have the FA Cup distracting you, then it will distract you from the overall performance in the Premier League. What I mean. So yeah, I'll call that. I'm going to lose that game, to be honest.
Okay. Junior?
I'm not really for that. Let's focus on the Premier League. If you're in a cup competition, you play to win the competition. As far as I'm concerned, it lifts the fans. It lifts the club. You know, it's just something to look forward to at the end of the season. Imagine if they're out of the FA Cup now. Imagine if they do go down in the league. What have they got to fight for? Nothing. They've got nothing to lift their spirits at the end of the season. I mean, wasn't it that season when Wigan get relegated, but they won the
FA Cup,
the Carling Cup, whatever it's called back in the day. They won the FA Cup. They were they got relegated, but they celebrated at the end of the season, and it was a merry season for them at the end of the day. So I'm not really for that, you know, let's concentrate on the league. Nah, it's not for me, really.
They did have 11 first-team players out injured, though. That's another thing as well.
Who, West Ham?
Yeah, West Ham. They're missing big players. Lanzini, Amarkovic, Carroll.
Noble wasn't playing.
Noble wasn't playing, yeah. They were missing the big players. So
Antonio was missing as well.
Put it this way, there's always has to be a story in the FA Cup in every round.
Yeah.
And that was one of the games I was going to give you the story. It was either that one or Tottenham versus Newport. And unfortunately, it was West Ham.
Well, we're going to Spurs in just a moment. And let's talk about Javi Gracia. Mm. He lost his first game in charge as Watford boss to struggling Southampton. Now, let me ask you something. Has the win actually kept Pellegrino in a job? Because if you look at their recent transfer activity, they brought in Guido Carrillo from Monaco. He's the club record signing, what, 19-odd million pounds? So I take it he's going to push Gabbiadini further and further into the reserves.
Yeah.
Has that win kind of prolonged his managerial career at the club? Or are they going to stick to him? Because what would they...
I think it's a dead man walking, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, I think
even
so.
Though they've let him spend 20 million quid on a new striker?
Yeah. How do you know it's not for the next manager? You don't know.
Yeah, but then who's the next manager?
Sorry?
But then who's the next manager?
Well, Watford sacked Silva, and the following day they had a new manager. So they didn't call him overnight and told him to come the following day. That was probably pre-planned. So
you're talking about the Pozzos here.
Yeah, but we know football clubs. We know what's going on these days. They talk to managers way before they do anything. It's not an overnight thing.
Apart from Arsenal.
Sorry?
Apart from Arsenal.
We're trying to cushion the blow here and not mention them tonight.
There's no cushioning of the blow here.
I just think because the Southampton fans have not taken to him, it won't be long until he's gone.
But listen, it goes back to what I said before about West Brom. What do you want from a manager? What do you want? You're not going to win. You're not going to get into the Champions League. You're not going to get into Europa League. You're just going to be a mid-table team. They're fine.
I just think because they had the football under Pochettino and Koeman, where they played a certain style, which was to Southampton a tracking or better style of football. Because they've got Claude Puel and they've got Pellegrino, who are kind of more defensive, kind of minded managers. And let's be fair though as well. The results are not great. Southampton are third from bottom. So
okay, but what's the points difference between them and 10th place? 3, 4, if that?
Yeah, but that's irrelevant because you can...
Why is it irrelevant?
It is because you can change a manager and get results. If they stick with him and go down, they could have said, if is a big word, but if they stick with him and go down, everyone's going to say they should have sacked him 4, 5, 6 games ago bought a new manager.
Well, maybe the Southampton board have looked at the league table thinking, oh, West Ham, they were in trouble, so they sacked their manager. Everton were in trouble, they sacked their manager. Swansea sacked their manager.
What's happened since then? West Ham shut up the table. Yeah, okay. Swansea have shut up the table.
Swansea are still bottom.
Swansea have won games undercover. They've won three out of still games. Yeah, but they're shitting on the table.
They're still bottom.
But there's a progression.
But there's the bottom. You know, nothing from nothing means nothing. Eddie Murphy. Right.
This point asking me.
Yeah. So you reckon he's gonna go?
I don't know anymore. You look an alternative for me. I think he will go, yeah.
Right, okay, fine, okay.
Soon.
Right then, okay, let's talk about Man United then. They made light work of Yeovil Town, they won 4-0. Pretty straightforward, wasn't it?
Yeah,
come on. Answer the question. Get over and done with, come on. You haven't been here 2 weeks, haven't spoken about United. Come on.
Yeah, I think so. It was first half an hour was a bit tricky, a bit odd. Wasn't a good performance, but once the goal went in, it was pretty straightforward after that. Good to see a bit of the kind of fringe players. Matt Tomine, I thought, had a good game. I'm quite impressed with him. Every time he's played, he's looked all right in a United shirt. Something about him that I quite like. And, pretty straightforward. Sanchez got a couple of assists. Wasn't his greatest game, but... What do you expect for a first game? To come in and he played with attitude, he played with desire. He showed that everywhere he's gone, though, to be fair. So it's not really a surprise, but, pretty straightforward.
And Rod, your mate Rashford got on the score sheet. Happy?
Yeah, pretty happy. The standard result, really. The problems if they're not going to a place like that and getting a result. But, the difficult games, then, sometimes you go to... teams like that and the pitch isn't the best, but yeah, it was a good result. And playing, like Jan says, Sanchez, his first game under his belt, and disappointing that Gomez didn't play more, but apart from that.
Yeah, he's looking a good player, Angel Gomez. He's done very well in the results. He made his debut against Palace in the last season. Good player.
Yeah, he just needs more time, yeah. In the first team, that is, yeah.
Because his dad is Portuguese. Didn't he play pro football himself, his dad?
He did, yeah. I can't remember what team he played for. I can't remember.
It wasn't Bury, was it?
Pardon?
It wasn't Bury, was it?
No. What can we put? I can't remember.
Yeah. You know the lad that booted Alexis Sanchez in the first 15 minutes?
That was a great challenge.
I knew you'd say that.
What, the centre half?
Yeah. He's a United fan. He's actually a United fan. I'm not even lying. His mum and dad live across the road to Peter's parents. Anyway, I'll digress. Right, let's talk about. What shall we talk about now? Let's talk about Spurs and our friends over at the Fifth Official. I know you guys were kind of laughing at Spurs' expense, managing to scrape a draw against Newport County. Harry Kane was their saviour again. Forcing a replay. The performance didn't really mirror their manager's comments, because I know Pochettino was saying the other day about Spurs need to win trophies and correct their own history. I think it was on the back of what Wenger said about managers being celebrated even though they haven't won anything in 25 years or something like that. I don't know. What did you guys make of Spurs' performance? Because it did seem a bit poor, didn't it? That's the nicest way I can actually put it without swearing.
Yeah, it was extreme lackluster. You know, it's typical Spurs, isn't it? Right at the beginning of the season, Harry Kane gets all-time goal scorer of Tottenham, and then it was just falls apart. I mean, that performance against Newport was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. It was only up until Dele Alli came on that we saw a bit more of, you know, the Spurs we started seeing from the beginning of the season. But it was horrible to watch, to be honest. Pitch wasn't great. Must admit, pitch wasn't great there. But even so, it's not good enough from Spurs. I think they're missing Toby. I think they're missing Toby massively at the back there. They look like a different team, complete different team without him. Again, Harry Kane scoring the goal to make it 1-1 and force the replay, as he does.
Jay, that's interesting that your colleague Junior said about the pitch being quite awful. I mean, professional footballers, they've played in pitches like that at lower league levels or whatnot. I'm sure they've played in cabbage patches, if anything, in the past. Should we use that as an excuse for Spurs? Because as far as I'm concerned, when you're on 100 grand a week, 150 grand a week, it doesn't matter if you're playing a League 2 side or a non-league side. The pitch isn't an excuse for me anyway. And that's no disrespect to you, Junior, because you know you got your own opinions, which I understand. So don't think I'm having a go here, because I'm not, honestly.
I'm going to give Spurs a bit of credit. Yeah, because Newport were up for it. If you're going to be totally honest, you're annoyed.
I can't believe it.
But yeah, Newport were going to be up for it. If they're going to have a Premier League club coming down to the team with the fairy tale of FA Cup, they're going to be up for it more than Spurs. Spurs are going to treat it more as if, you know what, this is going to be a walk all over. And they got surprised, but they still managed to get a point in the 83rd minute. They managed to get a replay in the 83rd minute. The conditions they are playing in, it is hard. Let's be honest.
Okay. Rod, what about
I want to second that.
Was that?
I want a second, simply because if I'm playing a Sunday league game, I don't expect Alexis Sanchez to come over and, you know, put me on my bum, because the pitch is going to be terrible. Pitches play a massive, massive part in the way the game goes. If I was playing at the Emirates, listen, I'll turn a few heads, mate.
Well, listen, the pitch wasn't like a carpet, let's be 100% honest. But for me, again, it goes back to the manager. And I know people are going to say, oh, you're laying into Pochettino again, you're not giving him a fair ride. But as far as I'm concerned, every great manager has a plan B, a plan C, a plan D, right? And it's always the same with Pochettino. It's the same predictable stuff.
Spurs don't have a plan B.
There you go. They'll probably beat United tomorrow. Now I've said that. With a long ball. Probably. Llorente's header, from 15 yards or something ridiculous like that. But Rod, you've played on some really bad pitches. And you actually said that Spurs would only get a draw.
You did.
You called it. And you should have put money on it as well, as you said the other day. But yeah, Newport, they were up for it. They popped a few Viagras. tell me about your take of the game.
Yeah, it'd be a massive culture shock from the play at Wembley. The toilet at Wembley is bigger than the changing rooms at Newport. So, and then obviously the pitch, it'd be shocking. And if their attitudes aren't right, like I was going back to United, the players, their attitudes right, and they got the right result. If their attitudes are not spot on in Newport, this is the game of their lives. You know, a draw is a great result. They go back to Wembley. So they're playing the game of their lives, and they got a bit of luck. And, you know, arguably they could have gone on to win it, but... You know, it was just a great result for Newport, but the pitch and the whole place, you just could see with the players that their attitudes weren't spot on. And obviously, Newport capitalised on it.
Mm. Okay, brilliant. Well, the draw keeps Tottenham into the... the draw keeps Spurs in the cup, and if they beat Newport County, they will face either Millwall or Rochdale. And imagine Spurs having to go to the Den on a Saturday evening. Yeah... I hate to see the police bill for Millwall.
Factory.
Yeah, football. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the FA Cup draw sees Sheffield Wednesday face either Notts County or Swansea. West Brom face Southampton. Chelsea versus Hull. Leicester against Sheffield United. Huddersfield or Birmingham against Man United. Brighton versus Coventry and Wigan versus Man City. How do you think this competition is going to go? Because we had Lee Trundle on a couple of seasons ago. He thought Everton in the fifth round. They're saying fifth round Everton are going to go and win it. Last season, who did we have on? And they said that Arsenal are going to win. I don't know. But what's your prediction?
Not just saying this, but I fancy United to win it this year.
Yeah,
United have to win it.
It's only
Go on.
Who's going to win it?
United have to win it. It's not fancy. They have to win it.
Okay.
After signing Sanchez, you have to go for it. Because what was the point of bringing Sanchez?
That's to build for the future. It's not to win the FA Cup.
But then how many more seasons has he got in him?
Almost. Yeah.
Sanchez?
People say it's for the future, yeah.
He's got 3-4 years in him, surely.
You reckon? Of course. And that's you dropping what? Rashford and Martial? Either one of those?
I wouldn't say about dropping. It's about learning. They're still young players. They need to learn from players like Sanchez with winning mentality and attitude and desire. They need players like that to develop. They're not going to develop by playing with each other. They need more experienced players. I think Sanchez will bring that.
I think personally, buying Sanchez in January, you're going to have to go and win the trophy this season.
I agree. United should be winning trophies anyway, regardless if it's the FA Cup or not. United's realistic kind of trophy is the FA Cup. I just feel it's our year this year. I really do. I'm not being biased. That's what I personally think.
All right, Jay. So who do you think is going to win it? If United don't and they have to, as you said, who do you think will win it? Who's your pick?
It's got to be City, isn't it? City or Chelsea.
Okay.
It just depends how far City go in the Champions League, because then that means what City got the league to concentrate on, Champions League, obviously, and the Carling Cup, and yeah, that's a lot of fixtures.
Okay.
Just depends on how they go.
If by some strange or miraculous feat we can actually knock out Man City, you're saying Chelsea will be the second favourite. So will Chelsea win it with or without Conte?
Hmm. Oh, that's a good question. I really don't know that. I don't know what happens tomorrow. It all happens tomorrow. Chelsea's big day is tomorrow. We'll see who they buy tomorrow.
Well, they've agreed to sign, did you say?
They bought Palmieri from Roma.
He's the left back, yeah?
Yeah, it's a done deal. Yeah.
So he'll be vying for Alonso's place.
Alonso, and they need a striker. Whether that's Seco or Giroud, we don't know.
Well, listen, if they get rid of that cheerleader, Batshuayi, they'll be all right.
Velios is available at Forest. They're looking for a tall guy, isn't it?
For crying out loud, give over. Junior, who do you think will win? Ignore him. I do.
Well, they're coming up with every name, aren't they? Every tall player they can think of, they're being looked at. So I just thought...
Why did you get Jan Koller out of retirement? How about that, yeah?
Good shout.
There you go. Junior, who's your pick?
My pick is City. I think City are going to do it. I think they're going to walk over Wigan as for starters, and yeah, I think they're going to go all the way. Hopefully they win the Premier League and they win the FA Cup, do the double, and they're not going to win the Carabao Cup, so yeah.
They're not going to win that. No, I'm being honest, they're not going to win that, honestly.
Well, listen, if they don't win that, then that just reinforces what Guardiola said the other day about needing more money to win every trophy, because 300 million obviously isn't enough, so yeah. Cheers, Pep.
Can I mention something about Wigan?
Mention what you want.
They've knocked Man City out of the FA Cup the last two times they've played.
They're not going to beat Man City.
I'm just saying. They beat them in the Cup and they beat them at the empty head as well. So they've got.
It's not going to happen this time, man. Stop it.
I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there. That's all.
So, you know, City will probably. Yeah, Rod, do you think City are going to take $250,000 to Wigan like they did against Blackburn?
I think it'll be a bit easier than that.
Yeah, they won't be jibbing it, will they?
Pardon?
They won't be jibbing it, will they?
No, definitely not.
So go on, who's going to win it? Newport County?
City or United. You can't see past them, really. Yeah. I'd rather United, because City are going to win the other cup, aren't they? So, that and the league.
I want Arsenal to win that.
What, the Carabao Cup?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Anybody but them.
Well, yeah. Well, anybody?
Liverpool?
Behave yourself. Wash your mouth out. Right, so I think we've decided that Man City are the firm favourites to win the FA Cup. So there you go. You heard it here first. So yeah, go to the bookies. Right, transfer window. It's going to close tomorrow. Slam shut. 11 o'clock. So no excuses not to get the paperwork through. No fax machines. No emails to be breaking down the last minute. Maybe... What's his name? The fellow that's at Stoke City? The striker,
Hesse.
No, the Nigerian fella.
He went to QPR.
He might still be outside QPR stadium now. My picture 10 out there. You know, Harry signed me. Well, Harry not here anymore.
He's in Indonesia now. But anyway, yeah.
Okay, good luck to him. Well done. Hope he took his jabs. Great. So transfer window is about to close, and Aubameyang looks to be joining Arsenal. His plane has landed, his private jet landed in London today. He was in Arsenal's training ground having his medical and that kind of stuff. I think about 30,000 people were actually on that website looking for the aeroplane to fly over. And yeah, I think they actually stopped the plane with 500 kilos worth of coke, but it wasn't Aubameyang, it was something else. Guys, as Arsenal fans, are you excited about the prospect of having Aubameyang in an Arsenal shirt?
Painting over the cracks.
Yeah?
Mm. Yeah.
Do you know what?
Today, against Swansea, we were poor at the back.
Jay, you know what? I'm gonna interrupt you so there, mate, but I actually agree with you. I do not understand the hype about this guy, but carry on. Sorry, as you were saying, mate, sorry.
I think he's a decent player. I think he can finish. It depends where he plays. I don't know where he's going to play. But we're painting over the cracks because we've got so much problems at the back. And we can see us today against Swansea. Mustafi and Koscielny are not good enough. Koscielny, that's it. He's been poor for the last two seasons. He needs someone better than him. And Mustafi, he was terrible from when he joined. He played at Valencia. Where did they finish against Junior?
14th? In the bottom three.
Something like that. So Mustafi was never good. He was at Everton. He wasn't good enough there. So, yeah, it's just painting over the cracks. We're going to get all happy, la la la, and then we're still going to finish up sixth anyway.
Okay, so you bring in Aubameyang. Giroud looks like he's going to be off. He played for like 15, 20 minutes tonight. We'd be disappointed to see him leave because personally, I think he's a very good player. I like him. I think he's one of the best one-touch finishers in the league.
Yeah, I'll be disappointed because Giroud is our clutch player. Giroud is the sort of player that we bring on and he'll get us a goal. And then from that, I don't know who we can bring off the bench to come and get us a goal. Lacazette, there's something missing about Lacazette. There's something not there yet. I think he's trying too hard, personally. I think he's trying too hard in terms of the link-up play. Sometimes, what happens is when I see Lacazette get the ball and he links up with Ozil, he's always looking for the 1-2 and he's either getting intercepted or the ball doesn't go through. Sometimes takes the ball, turn and shoot. We can see from the goals in in League One, he was scoring goals from outside the box. He would get the ball and he would shoot. Mm. We don't see that enough here in the Premier League so far. I think he's trying too hard, personally.
Mm. Okay, well, Johnny Evans is actually linked with you guys. Would you be happy to sign him?
Junior, you can answer that.
Jay, the floor's over to you, man. Take the
over. Goes back to worse, isn't it?
I just can't. Johnny Evans. Of all players. Mikel Sylvester all over again. I just don't get it. I just do not understand. Out of all the defenders in the world, pick Johnny Evans. Man City just signed Laporte. Was it 60 mil?
Yeah.
And we've got for Johnny Evans. And the thing is, we'll probably pay a premium for Johnny Evans, like 30 million for Johnny Evans. I can't understand what goes on at a football club. It's as if Wenger doesn't look at the players on the pitch. It's like he's just in a dream world thing, do you know what, I'm going to do this today. He wakes up and just thinks, oh, I feel like doing this. It's just, it's a shambles. Yeah, Mustafi and Koscielny are terrible. I don't understand how Mustafi gets game time at Arsenal. I really, really do not understand it. He's slow. He just dives in at every single opportunity. Just no spatial awareness. Just terrible. However, on the back of that, I think Aubameyang signing will lift us. I think it will give us a different dimension. Lacazette has been poor so far. If it doesn't help, he gets taken off in the 60th, 70th minute. He's lacking confidence. Giroud, it's going to be sad to see him go. I love Giroud, you know. He's one of my favourite players at Arsenal. And if he goes to Chelsea, it'll be even more upsetting. But it's typical Arsenal, isn't it? Selling to your rivals.
Guys, do you know what? Something I didn't understand tonight, and correct me if I'm wrong. A player who's probably, his mind is elsewhere, and his manager doesn't want him. He's bringing him off the bench to try and rescue a game. I didn't get that with Giroud tonight. I wouldn't have played him personally tonight. Not even on the bench.
But that doesn't surprise me.
Sorry?
That doesn't surprise me. Wenger does it. Wenger's done it time and time again. He did it with Oxlade-Chamberlain. We lost that game comfortably.
Do you see my point, though? A player that could potentially be off tomorrow is trying to come on tonight to save the game for Arsenal. I mean, what motivation?
You've seen loads of times of Arsene Wenger, though. He trusts his players so much and they let him down so many times over and over again, but he keeps making the same mistake.
I don't know. I said that to you off air, didn't I, about Giroud coming on. I just didn't get it at all. It's like the situation with Mkhitaryan. We knew he was going to go. His head apparently wasn't there. What did Mourinho do? Left him out of the squad for 2-3 games. I was thinking, listen, you're not going to play. Your mind's not in it. You know. But Giroud, who's been linked with every kind of Tom, Dick and Harry, you know he's going. He's buying another striker. Go on, Giroud, can you go rescue the game for me before you leave tomorrow? For me, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but let's be honest. Giroud is actually... He's a professional. Do you know what I mean?
He's a professional.
Listen, have you ever seen him moan or...
No, I haven't. And I respect him. You know, he's not a player that's in the papers or causes problems or... And actually, he's got a decent goal-scoring record at Arsenal for the times that he's played. So... It's surprising how far down the pecking line he's gone, especially when Lacazette's been struggling. He's not really giving him a chance to overshine him. You know, he's either played Sanchez there when he was there, or he'll play Lacazette, he'll play a different formation, or maybe Danny Welbeck there. He's not really giving him a chance. So, if I was Giroud, I'd leave tomorrow anyway. I'd be gone.
Okay, fair enough. All right, let's talk about Daniel Sturridge then, because he's gone to West Brom on loan. Rod, do you think that's going to be a good move for him?
Well, yeah, obviously he's obviously gone for the comfort, hasn't he? Because he's obviously he's from around there. I'm sure he's from around the Midlands. So, you know, would have gone there to Newcastle. It's a difficult decision. It obviously depends on how the manager sold it to him, but you would think Rafa Benitez, Newcastle, are they a bigger club than West Brom? Arguably yes, arguably no. But yeah, it was a strange one for me. But then it's not a strange one because he's from that area and, you know, he's not a player that's going to be playing every week because he's, you know, he's made a quavers, isn't he? So he's a he's a great player though. He's a great coup for West Brom because if he is playing and he's fit, he's a top striker and he's a danger to anyone in the league. So it's a great coup for Alan Pardew.
He could be the difference between West Brom going down and staying up, Sturridge.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Yep. Agree. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, we've been saying it for weeks. Where are West Brom's goals coming from?
Yep.
Because apart from Rodriguez and Rondon, where else?
No,
you know, they're not getting them from McLean. They're not getting them from Barry. They're not getting them from...
What's happened to Chudley? He's just gone missing, hasn't he? Completely.
I haven't seen him play like in weeks, has he? Is he injured?
Months?
He...
No idea. It's a bit of a weird one.
I don't know.
I would have thought, especially at West Brom, with Chudley's quality, he would have played him, but I don't know.
Well, I don't know, maybe he's... I don't know what he's doing. But anyway, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about, because obviously the transfer window is going to close tomorrow. We'll go into that probably another time. But let's talk about what's happening in America at the moment, because David Beckham has announced the launch of his Miami-based MLS team, finally. Mm-hmm. He's paid $25 million out of his own pocket, not his missus, for the rights to the new expansion franchise. And he's actually backed by an investment group that includes local construction magnates, the Mass Brothers, and former Spice Girls manager Simon Fuller, among others. I'm going to ask this to everyone. Let me start with you. I know Beckham has said that he's going to make this unnamed Miami team the best in the league. The best in MLS.
Mm-hmm.
Better than Toronto, who won the MLS trophy. Better than Seattle. Better than LA Galaxy. Better than New York Rebels. Better than New York City. How's he going to do it? Is he going to do it?
I think his name and his reputation, he can do it. Yeah, definitely. I think the fact that who he is can attract players. And let's face it, if the money's right as well, why can't he? I think
so. What's attracting players got to do with anything? They got a cap. You only allowed one or two designated players. So what? What's the difference?
I think the fact that who he is and if he sells the club and his ambition and what he's going to do to the right players and the right calibre of players, well, why not? I think he can. Okay. It needs a bit of time, of course. He's not going to do it overnight. But over a period of time, why can't he?
But why does David Beckham's name attract people more than, say, I don't know, the owner of Red Bulls?
Because of who he is. And he's done it in America as well. Went to LA Galaxy. Let's face it. The MLS changed when Beckham went there. He made it. I know George Best and all these players had it, you know, when all them years ago, but it wasn't how it is now. It's since kind of Beckham went there with the LA Galaxy that the MLS has become more known to the world. And the fact of who he is, his status, with his missus and United and etc. He's a big personality. He's a big person in the football world. And, you know, he's got contacts as well. He can attract Zlatan. Why can't Zlatan go there? I'm sure he can.
So you're saying David Beckham is the plug? Alright, so
yeah, yep. I do. Absolutely.
All right, Jay, tell me then, do you agree with Jan? Can I
agree with him. I think David Beckham's like the golden boy of England. I hate Manchester United, but I love Beckham. See what I mean?
Okay.
So yeah, he's got the status. He's also trying to build the academy there as well. So I can see him attracting young players there as well and trying to get the best of the young footballers around in America. And yeah, he can attract two big names. Why not? He can attract Zlatan. He played with Zlatan, didn't he, at PSG?
That's right, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so yeah, I agree.
Okay. Jay?
I mean, I do agree to a certain extent. He's still got wages to pay. You know, if he's trying to attract Zlatan, he's still got his wages to pay. His wages are quite steep. Players that he will want to attract, he still has to pay their wages. I think it will take a lot of time. I think it's a good dream, but I think it will take a lot of time to do. The academy that he's got going on there, I think that is where the majority of the success is going to come from. So building the players from when they're young to make a brilliant team, I think that's where the most success is going to come from.
Okay. Well, tell you what, Rod, tell me something. I know, having spoken to a few people from the States, a lot of people frown upon Miami. They think that it's beneath them, so to speak, because of the amount of immigrants that are there and whatnot. And the way that I see it, David Beckham needs to be very clever about this. He needs to market his club in a way that appeals to the locals, and I'm talking the Hispanics, because let's make it 100% honest here, right? If it's a 20,000 all-seater stadium, you're guaranteed at least 80% of them are going to be Hispanics. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be different cultures, different races, different creeds. So what he's going to have to do is basically focus the club on them, not, you know, on corporates, not on your... what's that name? That guy's name that's joined the Man City from New Ribble, and he's working for Umbro now. Max Discarude, whatever his name is. Yeah. not players like him.
Who? Harrison?
Huh?
The one that they're signing, the player that they're signing.
Max Discarude.
Oh, Discarude, the centre midfield player.
Yeah, Man City signed him from New York, and they sent him to Sweden to do some promotional stuff for Umbro.
Because they're signing Harrison from New York City as well. They're sending him to Middlesbrough on loan.
There you go. So, Rod, tell me something. I know that Man City's owners have done a lot for the local area, apparently, and they've invested a lot in youth. Do you think David Beckham's going to be aiming his product at the Hispanics and those cultures down there?
Well, he's going to have to. And like Junior says, it's going to take a long time to do that. But it's different than most American states. Cause like you say, it's a lot of Latino speaking or Latino people. And they like soccer or football. So he's got a heads up there. He's got more people probably to choose from and more kids that are more interested in football, like baseball, NFL. So... yeah, he's going to have to market in the right way. But, you know, he's no idiot, David Beckham. He's got the right people with him. I'm sure he'll get it right. But it's, like Junior said, it's going to take a long time, though. But yeah, I'm sure he'll do well because, you know, everything he touches is, like I say, the golden balls, isn't he? So I'm sure he'll do well. But it's going to take a long time, though, because there's some big clubs over there.
So who's going to be the first manager? Is it going to be Gary or Phil? Do you know what? Girl, Phil girl. Neville is probably thinking, have I sent any tweets about MLS? Or is it Gary looking at
No, MLS? I think they've got someone who knows what they're doing, so them two don't know what they're doing, so no, not yet. Do that. So.
There you go.
So yeah, I think they go with a bit more experience than the Chuckle Brothers, yeah, definitely.
Superb. Right, let's talk a bit about Serie A, your favourite league at the moment. And Roma's defeat against Sampdoria sees them trail league leaders Napoli by 16 points. Mm-hmm. I think their biggest concern at the moment is actually 7 games without a win. Now, Dzeko and Palmieri, Palmieri's just signed for Chelsea. So where does that leave them? I know Monchi was their sporting director. He came in, big fanfare, everyone's saying, he's going to turn this club around. They're going to be... title contenders. It hasn't gone well for him, has it?
No, it hasn't gone well at all. It seems like Roma lose their big players every year.
Oh, yeah, but they've lost three big players, though. It's not like one player.
Totti retired as well, which they lost.
Rudiger's gone.
Salah's gone.
Palmeiras gone. He's gone.
It looks like Dzeko's going as well.
Szczesny went.
Nainggolan is on his way probably in the summer.
Yeah.
They're not going to build if you keep selling your best players, are they? So... And Spalletti went as well, didn't he? Went to Inter. So it seems like it's a bit of a transitional period at Roma at the moment, and they're a big club. Man, they need to turn it around. They're not going to do anything this year. But if they're trying to emphasize a lot on youth as well, trying to bring a lot of like youth players Roma as well, and it's not working. But at least they're trying to do it the right way. If they're going to recruit the money from the players that they're going to sell and invest wisely, then maybe next year they might build or do something about it. But again, it's the same story in Italy, Juve and Napoli. So they're the big two that everyone seems to be chasing, and the rest is. It's history, isn't it?
Mm. There you go. Gents, do you think Roma are going to catch up? I can't actually see it happening. It's a mess for me. I look at that squad, it's a mess. I mean, they had to sign Fazio, for crying out loud. Fazio. What did he do at Spurs, apart from pick the ball out of the net a few times? What did he do in Spain? I don't know. Roma, talk to me.
It's a lot. 50 points is a lot to be behind by. I think they have lost some big names. I hope they don't lose Nainggolan in the summer. That would be terrible if they do. They lost Salah last summer. If Dzeko goes, then it's curtains for them. I don't really see a way back for them now. There's so many points behind. But I mean, it's Serie A. I mean, anything's possible, right?
Hey, there you are. I like that. The optimism. I love the optimism. Right, I'll tell you what. Let's end the show with a bit of a funny story. It's funny because it's actually quite pathetic, actually. Time wasting. We don't like time wasting. It kills the game, as you mentioned with VAR. It's a similar sort of thing. Now, I don't know if you know about this, but Independiente, they knocked Flamengo out of the Copa Sudamericana 3-2 in aggregate, winning the home leg 2-1, and they earned a 1-1 draw away from home. Now, they ended the second half. 3 minutes of added time went up on the board. And the Independiente goalkeeper decided to drop on the floor and roll around in agony. Why do you think this happened? Do you want to take a guess? Okay. No. The reason why he rolled around on the floor is because he was clapping his players, his teammates, to encourage them, and he claims to have dislocated his finger. Now, this was his way of like delaying time, and he got a booking for it, because as soon as the yellow card came out, he just put his gloves back on and he kicked the ball out, and it was absolutely fine. That's probably one of the strangest things I've seen in football, the strangest ways of getting a booking for time wasting. What do you make of that? Is it a pathetic thing, or is it a clever way of
it worked, didn't it?
Yeah.
There you go. I'm clapping. It's team one. There you go. Happy days. I would have liked if it was the other way around, but it's gamesmanship, isn't it? It happens in football. It's just another way of time wasting. I don't agree with it personally, but it's funny.
Yeah. Well, Rod, I'm sure you've seen a lot of non-league games where the ball's gone out and it's actually gone into the road or something, and it's taken forever and a day to get the ball back. Is that probably the most pathetic thing you've heard about a goalkeeper time wasting?
Definitely. Yeah, Jan says it's a funny one, isn't it? So, I've not really seen it myself, but to be rolling around the floor with a dislocated finger, these South Americans, they are over the top, aren't they? So
I'm quite glad to that. No,
he's a Uruguayan goalkeeper as well, so someone could have bit his finger. And
I usually watch games like this.
Yeah, you usually watch games like because you're a sadist. Gentlemen, look, it's been... Actually, tell us your views on it. Why not? I can't just ask Rod and him.
I think it's genius. I'll do it. I'll do it quite as my pleasure to do it, definitely. When I used to play football Sunday League, I'll kick the ball so far across the pitch so that it ends up going off the pitch and then so that it wastes the time. Or I'll go down and say that I've got a cramp. Yeah, no, it's genius. At the end of the day, it's to win the game, isn't it?
You ever seen a goalkeeper go down with cramp?
Nah, it's genius. Definitely genius. What's the difference between that and taking the ball to the corner? It's just... Guys, that is brilliant. That is absolutely amazing. Going down, clapping your players. I've just came up with boys.
I'm going to take that one.
They're just giving you guys ideas, isn't it, for next time, yeah?
The old non-league one was when you're playing away, if you was up or winning and you're away at some ground, that the floodlights would go on, something.
Yeah.
The floodlights. That's usually the but nothing like that.
What about your shoelaces, Rod? That's another one, isn't it?
Pardon?
Your shoelaces, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, as a keeper, he takes his gloves off, he does his laces, and, you know, that's a good way of time wasting.
See? There you go. 101 ways of time wasting by shooting defence.
There's a lot of coaches and managers preach that into the players. You know, we want to get up, you know, make sure you slow things down, waste time. There's a lot of managers and coaches that frown upon it, but there's a lot of coaches that ask the players to do that kind of stuff.
The most annoying one is when the goalkeeper catches the ball and he falls on it.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Romeo did it against Bristol City? Yeah. It was 1-0 when he's caught the ball and he's landed on the ground. I'm like, Geezer, this isn't the World Cup final.
Get up.
Yeah, the most stupidest rule is the 6-second rule for the keeper, because every keeper holds a ball for at least 20 seconds, 15 seconds. That 6-second rule is an absolute joke. You say to the referee, he's got all this, but he's had it for 10. They're just lucky, like, you're stupid. So I don't know what that rule's all about.
I don't remember the last time I've seen a free kick for a keeper holding the ball more than 6 seconds. I really don't.
I don't know.
Anyone else?
No, I don't know.
Not late. I don't remember at all.
Well, I don't know. 6 seconds for a referee and his missus might be 20 seconds. I don't know, but yeah. Right, that's the most Freudian thing that you ever hear on this show. Yes, we're done, yeah? We're done. We're absolutely done. Right, guys, thank you ever so much for coming on the show. It's been great talking to you. Tell us where you can find your show again, how we can find you on Twitter and interact with you guys.
Yeah, you can find us on Twitter at the TFO Show, and you can find us on YouTube at TFO Show or The Fifth Official.
Great stuff, and it's a fantastic podcast. I urge you all to subscribe, like, even comment on their page. It's fantastic. You'll get hooked, trust me. You know, they get a lot of different characters, a lot of different people on. It's a really good show. Really enjoyed going on myself. What's your Twitter handle?
Yeah, Kiss Joe.
You started using it again?
I have done, yeah.
Mm. You're interacting with people. You're more sociable on Twitter than you are in the real world.
Appreciate that.
There you go. And Rod, what's yours, mate?
At Rod James Giggs.
He's more important than us. He's got about 50,000 followers and all that. Yeah, he's got Coronation Street people following him as well, lads. See, he's
a big, does Jesse Lingard follow you as well?
No.
Good.
I know his father though. I grew up with him. Father as well.
Can't start the Giggs off.
Yeah, I know his. He doesn't live with his dad, but I know his dad fairly well actually.
Okay.
He has a box there and went to watch him at Christmas. So, but yeah, I don't really know Jesse. I've never really met him.
Does his dad dance though, Rod?
Definitely not. His dad's like a Yardie kind of guy.
Oh,
so
really?
Nice. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's where he gets it from.
That is where he gets it from.
This is why he can afford to get away with it, because no one's going to say anything to his face, will he? You know?
We don't even have defenders to smash him. That's just what's annoying me even more.
Is that what I was saying about on your show, mate? The R defending is dead. Back in the day, had Costa Curti, had Nesta.
No, I agree. Definitely agree.
They wouldn't stand for it these days. That Yap stand. Yeah. There you go. See?
You can tell Junior's got a lot of affection for Man United, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That was
the bit. Jay and Junior love United.
Yeah, love United.
Well, guys, thanks again for appearing on the show. For those of you still listening, we're on Twitter at Shoot the Defence. We have a Facebook group page, as if you didn't already know, because you should be on it. If you're not, then shame on you. And follow our friends over at the global_eLeagues on Twitter. They've got a fantastic tournament on the Xbox and on goal.com. And we'll be back, I think, tomorrow or next week. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Take care now.